Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the late night edition of the Love of Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host tonight, Elfrida Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so happy that you joined me on tonight, because on tonight we're going to talk about wearing the garment of faith. And as I was driving home and the Lord was revealing to me pieces of the puzzle, the Lord also revealed to me something to say concerning fasting. And I was able to record the message that God gave as soon as I arrived at the house. But I want to share with you the revelation of God, and I'm going to be very honest with you. This is the authentic revelation of God. There is only one particular part in here that is specifically a verse from the Bible, but the rest is a revelation from God, and you will know that it's real because it will fit. It will be tailor-made, as the Lord is revealing. It will be tailor-made to our circumstance and to our situation. But without further ado, I want to first of all thank God, my family, my friends, and everyone for joining in tonight, and I thank you for sharing the ministry with others. As I said before, there are many pages. The main page is entitled, I Got to Have Faith. So you can join that page, and also there are many other pages as well, but they're going to all be parallel to each other. But the main page is I Got to Have Faith if you want to really connect with me, okay? So without further ado, let's go ahead and read Psalm 146, numbers 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. I've read to you Psalm 146, numbers 1 and 2. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. And without further ado, I would like to go ahead and pray unto God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as we're able to wake up this morning, and you started us on our way. We're thanking you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength, Lord. We thank you for blessing those who came out of surgery, those who are going in, and those who will have to have surgery. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for deliverance and recoveries. Lord, we thank you for strength. Lord, we thank you for rest. We thank you for peace. We thank you for each thing that you have done, Heavenly Father, for us, past, present, and future. We ask that any future activities or things that we do be successful. Anything that we touch be successful. Lord, we ask that you just continue to hold your mighty hand on us and help us and lead us and guide us in the way in which we should go, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to look over our youth in a particular manner? Would you continue to help us to find the titles to men and women of God that you are seeking or whom you are seeking, Lord? We ask, would you continue to just breathe the life into us and help us to continue to disseminate the word of God and help us to do your holy will. Lord, we pray for those who are in bereavement tonight, Lord. We pray for those who do not know you, Heavenly Father. And we pray for those who know you. We ask that they continue to be strong and have strength in order to carry on with the word of God. We ask that you bless those who are unable to perform their jobs or tasks for whatever reason. We ask for expedient recoveries. We ask for divine recoveries. We ask for you to be a heart fixer, mind regulator. We ask for you to be a propeller of our faith, Lord. We ask that you anoint our hands and anoint our feet to walk in the right path. We ask that you continue to do your holy will, Lord. We ask this we go into tonight in the revelation and the word of God, that you hide me behind the cross and that you magnify who you are so that people may see you and they may understand the authentic word of God. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you crown this whole head from the top to the soles of my feet, and would you continue to give your wisdom and knowledge and the things that you would have us to do and help us to be ambassadors, help us to be people of God, and help us to read the good book in order to live by those particular standards. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to help us to remain in character and help us to know that you are God and besides you there is no other. We thank you for blessing the Love of Jesus ministry in a particular way. We ask would you continue to bless us in a particular way. Would you bless the host? Would you bless each guest who come on the ministry and bless the things that they touch and the things that they're going to touch and bless their families and their friends and the people around them. Then, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless those who have disturbed minds, those who are contemplating, those who are depressed, suicidal, those who do not know you, Heavenly Father. We ask, would you bless the youth who are going through depression for whatever reason it is. We ask, would you bless those who are older, who are going through depression and going through fear, anger, and anxiety. We ask, would you cool those storms, Heavenly Father, and would you ask peace to be still. Lord, we ask that you continue to help us to think on the good things and help us to continue to be role models and help us to continue to just do your holy and righteous will. And, Lord, as this ministry goes forth, the Love of Jesus ministry goes forth tonight, we ask that something will be said or done that will magnify and edify who you are and will also help individuals all around this world. Lord, we thank you for those who are listening now. We thank you for those who are going to listen, Lord. And we ask that you continue to bless this ministry to be the authentic word of God, something that you are pleased with and something that you are acceptable with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And without further ado, I would like to go ahead once more and play He is Faithful by Miss Karen Shawell. And the reason why, as I said before, I continue to play this song, He is Faithful, is because the Lord wants us to know that He is faithful. And this is not the only song that's in the lineup for music. But as for now, the Lord says He is faithful because the Lord wants us to know that He is faithful. Before we can climb over any other hurdle or remove any mountain in our life or get from the valley, the Lord says we have to understand and put our faith and trust in Him. And a lot of people, many people, are putting their faith and trust in other people or things. And God says He wants us to put our faith and trust in Him. And as a matter of fact, after this is complete, I'm going to read you a revelation that the Lord gave me. And I'm going to give you a brief synopsis. Then after that, we're going to go into a brief talk of the revelation of God about wearing the garment of faith, what the Lord gave me. And then I know that the Lord is going to add things as we're going along. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and play Miss Karen Shawell, He is Faithful. And just know that God is faithful. And anything that you need, anything that you want, God is able to deliver.
Been so faithful to me. In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. Was all gone when my heart had no song. Still in love, He's proved faithful to me. Every word He's promised is true. Baby, I could not pray. Still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Those days I spent so selfishly, reaching out for what pleased me.
As I said before, I was driving along and I was replaying what the Lord revealed unto me. And what came to mind was the term fasting. And on yesterday, the Lord gave me a verse, Matthew 9:21. And the gist of the verse was that only the sick needs to visit the doctor. And the Lord also revealed something to me about fasting that I need to share with my listeners, because many times we wonder why we fast and nothing happens, or we wonder why we fast and the Lord does not speak. And so what I want to share with you tonight is a portrait or a synopsis or a writing that I recorded from the revelation of God. And a lot of people say, I want proof that this is God. First of all, nothing needs to be proven when it comes to God, because the proof is in the Word of God, and the proof is shown throughout our lives. But I tell you this. The listeners who will listen to this is meant for you. The Lord says it's already a destiny. It's just like clothes that are tailor-made. It's just for you. And so when whoever listens to this particular ministry is very strategic, the Lord says that they will reap what they sow. They will get what they need, in other words. So I want to read this to you that the Lord gave me, and then we're going to go into the garment of faith. Okay, so right now this is a I don't want to call it a letter because it's not a letter. This is information concerning fasting, and I'm sure that the Lord is going to give me something to say afterwards. Okay? And it reads as thus. I forbid that you would disfigure your face or dismantle your integrity. Fasting is unintentional, just as catching the Holy Ghost. For when you fast, it is by appointment of God, not your own soul. When the Holy Spirit appears, it is by appointment only. For when one fasts, he displaces his soul. If he has called himself to fast, a fast is given only by God. Does a man declare when he is born or when he shall die? 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. What the Lord is saying with this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is that, and I know that a lot of people, and God is already showing this to me, is going to disagree, but this is the word of God. This is the revelation of God, and it will be proven, okay? The Lord is saying that a fast for any person is to be only authorized by God. On yesterday, and God gave me this example, on yesterday, after church, I came home, and I went to bed at 2 p.m. All right, I mean, I went to bed at 2 p.m. I don't know what time I fell asleep. And the Lord did not wake me up until 1 a.m. And I didn't eat yesterday. But that was very unintentional because the Lord was showing me something as I was sleeping. And the Lord said, this is an example of fasting. He says, when you fast, you have to get permission from him. Fasting is in the Bible, and a lot of people read about fasting, how Jesus fasts. But Jesus has authority. When we fast, we must pray first and receive permission from God. It's kind of like life and death. We don't get to select when we're born, as God is speaking. We don't get to select when we die. It is authorized by God, even if a person takes his or her own life, right? It still has to be authorized by God, whether they live or die. So what God is showing today is that when we fast, whether you're fasting as far as nutrition, eating, whether you're fasting, whether it's through prayer, or you're fasting or you're sacrificing something, the Lord says you have to come through him. That's why the Son says no one comes unto the Father but by me. And a lot of people think that God is speaking about making it to heaven. God is speaking about earthly things as well. And one of the things that God is speaking about is fasting. And so when a church says we're going on a 40-day fast, right, all over the world, we're going over on a 40-day fast, my question is, who gave you permission, right? What revelation from heaven did you receive that everyone goes on a fast? Some people may already be on a fast, and then when you say, we're going on a fast, right, then that may hinder someone's blessing. So it's very important, and I didn't know this as well, and a lot of people may disagree, but this is the word of God, and it will be proven. When we go on a fast, we have to obtain permission from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to obtain permission because that's why the Lord also says we ask amiss, because we're doing things out of the realm of God and we don't have any authority to do it. I can't just decide tomorrow I'm going on a fast without conferring or speaking to God first. Why? Because he's our Father, and that's just respect. And secondly, the Lord can lead and guide us. So Yes, the Lord says, that's right, we are supposed to fast. He said, well, make sure it's authorized by him, because otherwise we ask amiss and we disfigure our face and other things when we do things out of the will of God. Just like someone cannot determine, they can't say, okay, everybody's going to die this particular day. Everybody's going to live this particular day. The Lord has to authorize that because he is over us. The Lord gives life and he takes life. So when you fast, and many people are wondering, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why is this going on? And God is speaking. And he says, because no one gave you authority to do that. We have to get authority. That's why when the Lord talks about anointing ourselves from the top to the bottom, he's not only talking about with the oil. He's talking about with prayer. He's talking about receiving his authority, receiving permission to even go on a fast. So when we fast, we must receive a permission from God. Somebody says, well, I need a breakthrough. You still have to receive permission, because who gives you the breakthrough? God does. God is over us. Somebody say, well, I need a financial breakthrough. I need a career breakthrough. I need, you know, something for my kids. I need something for my spouse. I need something for my significant other, whoever it is. God says, but who gives it? He says, you still got to come through me. So we are trying to go around our Lord and Savior because we want to expedite. And that's another topic. Write that down. We're going to talk about next Sunday, God's Word. We're going to talk about expediting our blessings, because the Lord says that there's no such thing, because he's over our blessings as well. He may not come when we want him to, but he'll be there right on time. And a lot of people think that by fasting we're going to expedite blessings. The Lord said it doesn't work like that. We must receive permission from him first. That's why people ask amiss. He said, when you get out of the will of God and when you do things on your own strength and you do not get his approval, whether it's ministry, whether it's going into a new career, whether it's starting a family, he says, whether it's anything that you do, if you leave God out, and everybody knows this, he said, then it's not going to work. That includes fasting. If the Lord did not give you permission to fast, you don't do it. It doesn't matter if 40 people is doing it. Doesn't matter if you're in the church, the man or woman of God say, we're going on a fast. You ask God. You ask God, because God may want you to do something else. He might just want you to pray for 40 days and still eat. It's kind of like going to the doctor. Everybody who comes in with a cold does not receive the same medication. So the Lord is saying, when you fast, it has to be strategic, prescriptive, and it has to be authorized by him. If it's not authorized by God, do not go on a fast. Just like the Holy Spirit, right? We can't force the Holy Spirit to come into a place. We have to set that atmosphere. How do we set that atmosphere? By talking to God. They call it praise and worship. That's what we call it in church, praise and worship, setting that atmosphere for God to come in. First, it starts with us. But God says, if you want him to come in, you have to set the atmosphere, which means speaking to God. So if we want to fast, we must get permission from God, period. Or it's just not going to work. Right? So, ministers, leaders, God is saying today, when you go on a fast, right? Or even if you want your whole church to go on a fast, you must intercede and talk to God first to see if that's what God wants the church to do. You must intercede and you must talk to God. You must receive authorization from God to go on a fast. It's a sacrifice. It's taking nutrients from the temple of God, from the body of God. If God did not authorize it, don't do it, because you asked amiss. And all those things, when you're fasting, right, you're not going to hear from God. Why? Because he didn't authorize it. Right? Just like when we walk out of the will of God, God tells us to remain and we go. Nothing's going to go right because God did not authorize that. He did not authorize us to do that. And we're out of the will. We're out of the ark of safety. Ask the Israelites. Noah was the only one saved. Why? Because he listened to God. He obeyed God. He was speaking to God. The Israelites was going about their own way. So when the flood came, guess who got washed away? Right? So God says, yes, it's good to fast. It is. We're supposed to fast. But all God is saying is have respect and get permission from him. And he will lead you. He will lead us and direct our paths. But if we just go on a fast because right now I'm in a bond, I need a breakthrough, and the Lord did not authorize it, right, you're not going to get the results that you wanted. You're not going to hear from God. You're not going to understand the revelation even if it was given to you. So God is saying, I need the people of God to come to me, pray to me, talk to me, so that I may give them the authority to fast. And so for some people, it's just going to God because some people need a fast. They need an immediate breakthrough. For other people, it's wait. I just need you to pray. You're not praying like you usually do. You don't have a relationship with me. You're not reading your Bible. This has nothing to do with you fasting. You're not reading your Bible. You're not trusting in me like you used to. God may tell different people different things. But ministry and fasting is not one size fits all. That's what God is saying. And so when we fast, and this is the revelation of God, when we fast, we must understand that we have to receive authority from God. Leaders, ministers, evangelists, prophets, people of God, please do not put people in a bind by asking them to fast if the Lord did not authorize or give you permission to put your church on a fast, to put the people who work beside you on a fast. Don't put them in that position because God's saying that it's going to be on the leader, whoever did it, because, of course, the sheep are going to follow. But the whole point is when you fast, whatever it is, make sure that it is authorized by God. And I'm going to read that one more time since we have some new people who joined us. Okay? I'm going to read it one more time. And it reads as thus. I forbid that you would disfigure your face or dismantle your integrity. Fasting is unintentional, just as catching the Holy Ghost. For when ye fast, it is by appointment of God, not your own soul. When the Holy Ghost appears, it is by appointment only. For when one fasts, he displaces his soul. If he has called himself to fast, a fast is given only by God. Does a man declare when he is born or when he shall die? 1 Corinthians 7:5. Do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot stress it enough, that the Lord says that when you fast, you obtain authority from him to fast so that your results can be commendable, so that our results can be commendable. When you pray, who are you praying unto? You're praying unto God. You're talking to God. You're not talking to your friend. When you pray, you're speaking directly to God, and God expects us to come to him when we feel the need to fast so that he can lead and guide us and he can give us direction. That's what he was saying. Turn in Matthew. The Lord is showing this. Turn in Matthew 9:21. I'm going to give you a few minutes because I want you to read. Did I say that right? Let's see here. We're talking about garments. Okay, this is what I want you to do. Look at Matthew 9:12. Matthew 9:12 first. And it reads, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So what the Lord is saying is that sometimes when we think that we need to fast, we don't need to fast. Sometimes we just need to talk to Jesus. Sometimes we just need to read our Bible and receive a word from God. Sometimes we just need to stop and rest, right? And so God says only the sick needs a physician. And he said only those who are authorized and who need a breakthrough needs to fast. And when we talk about breakthroughs, ladies and gentlemen, a breakthrough, as the Lord is showing, a brick wall, when we need to get past the brick wall, the Lord says that he is able to remove mountains. He said, but then when we lose our faith, provide some things that is hindering us from removing those mountains, and that's when the Lord authorizes us to go into a fast. And so it's very important that we receive authority from God for a fast. And then let's look at, we're going to say Matthew 9 and 21. So, yeah, Matthew 9 and 12. The only person who needs a physician is someone who's sick. The Lord says, when you fast, right, receive his authority, because once you receive the authority, there is a purpose. Just because you believe or we believe we need a breakthrough right now doesn't mean that that's God's will. That may not be God's will. Our will, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. So therefore, we have to be cognizant and we have to go to God and we have to ask God, is this the right time for me to fast? And I guarantee you the Lord will respond. The Lord will show you signs. But please, leaders, pastors, ministers, prophets, evangelists, do not put people in a position where they fast as a unit. Make sure that before you do that, that you have spoken to God and obtained his authority. Okay? So just make sure of that, because we don't want to put anyone in a situation where they ask amiss or they are not ready to go into that process, because the Lord knows. All right? All right, let's go on to the garment of faith. And I'm going to read Matthew 9 and 21. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. That's Matthew 9, 21 and 22. I want to reveal what the Lord showed me. When we speak about garment, many times people think that garment means clothing, and it does. But in the spiritual tone, the Lord suggests that we put on the garment of faith each and every day. And what I mean by that is the garment of faith is something that is not seen, right? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. And the Lord says, before you step out, meaning before you go out of your house, he says that you pray for faith. And you own faith and you put faith on before you go out of the house. Just like putting on the full armor. What does that look like? He says, well, if we're talking about the head, it looks like wisdom. Understanding that God is able to allow us to make wise decisions. He said, what does this look like when we're speaking about the tongue? He says the tongue is very disciplined in that it speaks only when necessary. It does not spread gossip, lies. It does not cause anyone to stumble or fall, and it does not cheat. What does the lower extremities look like? Well, let's start with the heart. He says the heart is full of love and compassion and kindness. He says if there is any jealous or malice in there, it must leave. He said faith, when you are standing on faith, you're confident in what God can do for you, because there is no secret what God can do for what he's done for others. If you trust and believe in him, he can do the same thing for you. But many times we get that confused with, I can want what my neighbor has. And the Lord says that faith is understanding that the Lord is going to take care of you regardless. Faith is understanding that we should love each other in spite of anything. Faith is, or it looks like, something in our heart where we're giving more than receiving. He said that is faith. When we're talking about our hands and utilizing our hands and wearing faith, wearing the gloves of faith, he speaks about the healing hands. He speaks about the hands that extend and help someone up when they're down. He speaks about the hands that are used to touch and heal people. He speaks about the hands of faith that are used to be busy in work and to be busy in service. He speaks about Mother Teresa's hands. He says her hands were full of faith. She wore faith. She wore gloves of faith. Then we talk about the lower extremities with the legs and the feet. He says that you walk in the path of righteousness. He says that even when you're in the shadow of death, you still walk in the light, and you are the light of God because you are experiencing faith, and you know that although you're not able to see in these dark spots, he says you know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And so when we walk by faith, we're putting on our shoes of faith, and we're walking in righteousness. He says we must walk and not grow weary. He says our shoes are going to become dirty at times. He said, but the faith, he says we must renew our faith each and every day. There's a renewal of faith, because once we renew our faith, he says that we're able to start a brand new day, and we're able to experience the new mercies. So when we talk about the garment of faith, we're not talking about name brand clothes, and we're not talking about our clothes. We're talking about our faith with our beliefs, and we're talking about wearing that. We're talking about branding ourselves as those individuals with faith. And the Lord, as I said before, when we talk about the covering of the head, he speaks about when we he speaks about we're just supposed to have wisdom. And in wisdom, what we understand wisdom to be as it relates to faith is understanding and knowing the Word of God. He says we must understand and know the Word of God. Although we are supposed to hide the words in our heart, he says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. So God says that faith looks like understanding, because you know the Word of God, and you understand that circumstances that are not parallel unto God will work out for the good to them who love the Lord and who are called upon his holy name. So therefore, we understand what faith is as far as it deals with wisdom. We also understand once before and once again, as I am reiterating, with our tongue, that we understand that our tongue must speak things of kindness, good things, constructive things, things that will lift up the kingdom of God, and not only lift up the kingdom of God, but lift the people of God up, because that's what our tongues are utilized for when we talk about faith. When we talk about the gloves of faith, we're speaking about keeping our hands pure from a lot of mess, getting our hands in mess, and putting our hands in other people's business, and not being busy with the work of the Lord, but being busy stirring up trouble. The Lord says, keep your hands still. He says, make sure that your hands are clean. He says, make sure that they're not guilty of murder. Make sure they're not guilty of adultery. Make sure they're not guilty of a whole bunch of other things. He says, keep your hands clean. And he speaks about, when we talk about our hands, he speaks about being able to, through the power of God, he says, those with anointed hands understand that they are anointed because they have faith. Being able to anoint and help people, being able to hold people up and lift people where they're weak and build them up where they're torn down. Then he talks about our legs. He talks about the garments of our legs and wearing our shoes of faith. He says, walking in the path of righteousness, walking where faith is. He says, walking in those unknown places to serve others. He says, walking in those unknown places, but understanding that the valley moments, there is a hillside experience. He says, using our legs to walk into those paths of righteousness is putting on the garment of faith. He says faith is more than going in the lion's den, knowing that God is going to rescue you or rescue us. Faith is more than the woman with the issue of blood who pressed her way through the crowd and said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, speaking about Jesus Christ, I shall be made whole. God reveals that faith is more than just that of a mustard seed. He says faith is understanding that the mustard seed will grow to something prosperous and big, although you can't see it. He says when you have children, he says it's faith is looking at your child in spite of the situation, whatever is going on with your child when they're born. He said in understanding that God has a plan for their lives. He says faith is more than driving over a bridge and understanding and recognizing and knowing that the bridge is going to continue to hold up as your car passes over the bridge. He says faith is that ability to understand that God will see you through no matter what your storm is. He said because things are physical, such as a bridge that holds up a car, he said people begin to put their faith and trust in things. Because when I said things, a lot of people says, but I don't serve idol gods. I don't serve my car. I don't serve this and that. But God says that when we put our faith and trust that our car will crank up in the morning. He said that's having faith in things. He said instead of having faith in God, understanding that God can carry us through, that God is going to get us to that place. He says when we cross over the bridge of the Brazos River or whichever river there is or lake or ocean, he says we have faith that we're going to make it over because the bridge is holding us up. God says that he is the hand that holds us up when we feel like we're going to faint or fall. He says, so therefore we have to have faith in him, although we don't what see him. Then he goes on to say that he keeps us from danger seen and unseen. He says he is that shield rather than the windows and rather than the things that we have for security. He says he wants us to know that he is our shield and our protection. And so, therefore, we have to wear the garment of faith. And he says, wearing the garment and also believing in the things that we have and wear. He said, those are two different things. Let's talk about that. When we wear the garment of faith, that is something that we are able to put on and renew every day. Because sometimes things happen in our lives that causes us, let's be real, to doubt our faith in God, and that has been experienced with everyone. But God says when we begin to deal with the mind, he says the mind is very important when we speak about faith, because the mind controls the garment of faith, because the mind is able to put on and put off. Think about it. When you put your clothes on, and then when you get ready to release your clothes, whether it's your shoes or whatever it is, you think about it first because you want to put on something else. You want to get comfortable. He says, so the mind, we must regulate the mind, and we must put on our helmet of faith. He said, because once we put on our helmet of faith, we're able to protect our mind from the things that will distract us. He correlates it to things in the air, such as rain, that he says those things that distracts us. He said if we put on a protection, a helmet, he says that our faith will be preserved. He says, but since we have the garment of faith, he said we must renew it every day. That's what God says. He says renew your faith every day. And we have to do that. The garment of faith is very important. You know, God says that our faith, and I continue to say this, he says our faith must be bigger than the mustard seed. Our faith must be constant. We can't say one day, you know, I have faith that my child is going to be successful. Then the next day you change your mind. He said there is a constant faith. He said, and although it's constant, it must be renewed every day, just like we're the same person. Our names do not change. Our first names do not change on a daily basis. The Lord says our faith, amen, should be our name. Faith is congruent. Faith is the same as our name. That's how the Lord, that is an illustration, that is an example of how the Lord wants our faith to be. How many of you change your name every day? My name is Alfreda. My name has not changed. Now, some people, when they get older, they don't like their name, so they change it. But guess what? You still have to give permission to change your name. And the Lord says, who gave you permission to lose faith? Who gave you permission to fast? Who did? Who gave you permission? If you have to give permission to change your name, and that's your name, then what do you think about God in the spiritual world with fasting? And what do you think about faith? Why do we change? Why are we so inconsistent, some of us, with our faith? Why do we lack faith sometimes? And the Lord says it's supposed to be constant, like our first name. Our faith should be constant. I want you to write that down. My faith. Make it personal. And I'm writing it down as well. My faith should be constant, like my first name. And God goes on to say that faith must be renewed every day. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. That means that in order to be consistent with our faith, we must talk to God. We must read our Bibles in the morning before we go to work. When we come from work, we must read our Bibles to keep our faith stable, because there are things in the world that shake us up. I've spoken to several individuals over the past months who are preachers, evangelists, prophets. They get irritated. Why? Because of the world. Things that the world does. But guess what? God says, no matter what, stay in character. Amen. He said, hold on to your faith. Just like you hold on to your first name, hold on to your faith. Make sure that your faith is constant. And when you put on your garments, he says, renew them every day. The garment of faith, renew it every day. And that's how we keep our faith stable. Because I'm going to be very honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. Every day is not going to be Sunday. There are some times when we have to deal with the world. And that's what the Lord illustrated. There are some times we have to do that. Everyone is not saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I tell people all the time. But the Lord requires that we remain in character. There is no excuse for getting bent out of shape. There is no excuse for taking off our tongue of faith and putting on the tongue of bitterness, the tongue of gossip, cheating, lying. There's no excuse for it, because the Lord is telling us this today. He says to remain in character. He says ensure that your faith is stable and constant, just like your name. And even, as I said before, when we change our name, we have to receive permission to change our first name. Even if you get married and your last name changes, you still have to get permission. So why is it, and I need someone to answer that question, think about it, talk to your family about it. Why is it that our faith is so unstable? Why? Is it because we think that the Lord is not watching? Is it because we never really had faith? What is it? Our name doesn't change on a daily basis. And even when people call us out of our name is still our name. So what is it going to take for you? And I'm making this personal, and I'm speaking to me too. What is it going to take for you? What is it? Just like, what is it going to take for you to keep your first name? You have to receive permission from God to fast and to change in faith. The Lord has not given anyone or authorized anyone any permission to lose their faith. It's not in the Bible. The Lord has not revealed it. So why do we do it? The Lord says he is faithful. That's why we continue to play Miss Karen's song. The Lord says he doesn't change. He said he's going to show up whether we show up or not. He's going to show up. But we're going to have to do our part. We're going to have to wear faith. We can do anything according to the Lord, and we can be any person we want to be. We can be prosperous. We can be successful. But God says we have to have faith. And it has to be stable and consistent. And as I said before, the Lord says, yeah, the storms of life are going to come. It's going to rain sometime. It's going to snow every now and then. Well, maybe not in Texas, but it's going to, we'll get a little sleet. Hurricanes are going to come. Tornadoes are going to come. But the Lord says, what? Hold on to your faith. Just like we hold on to our name. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord wants to bless so many people. But guess what? Before the Lord can do it, we lose faith. We lose hope. And we start believing in things like cars. I believe that this bridge is going to hold me up. God says that he's the one holding us up. It's not the bridge. He's the one that's protecting us. While we sleep, we must have faith in God. It's very important. I can't stress it enough as the Lord is revealing this. Talking about garments of faith. We're talking about fasting. Obtain authorization in each event, fasting, and wearing the garment of faith. The Lord has not given us permission to lose hope. He has not given us permission to lose faith. He has not given us permission to give up. He hasn't given us permission to take our lives. He hasn't given us permission to be depressed. He hasn't given us permission to be stressed out. Can you imagine someone going to God saying, Lord, do I have permission to be stressed? And God's going to give you a verse to read. If you're feeling some kind of way, go to God and say, God, do I have permission? The Lord said, this is key. When you become upset, say, Lord, do I have permission to be angry? And the Lord, I guarantee you, will reveal when he hung on the cross and the humility that he showed the world, because he had to portray an example for us. Right? Lord, do I have permission to be depressed? When Jesus had to carry his cross, did he have permission to be depressed? No, he didn't. He had to carry it anyway. God says you don't have permission to be depressed. Lord, do I have permission to take my life? Did the Lord take his life, or was he hung on the cross? All the things that the Lord endured, being stoned, being placed in a barred tomb. You don't have permission. Ask the Lord, whatever emotion you're feeling, Lord, do I have permission to be happy? Yes, the Lord says make a joyful noise. Lord, do I have permission to be prosperous? Yes, you do. Lord, do I have permission to live my life? The Lord says yes. But he did not give us permission to be depressed, stressed out, angry, upset. He didn't give us permission to do any of those things. And if the Lord did not give us permission to do it, we shouldn't do it. Just like if the Lord did not give you permission to fast, don't do it. Be obedient unto God. He's our Father. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, because it's very important that we follow God's lead. And I guarantee you, listening to God, obeying God, is the best thing that could ever happen. It's the best thing that could ever happen. And I guarantee you, if you obey God, if you do what thus says the Lord, I guarantee you that your life will be much simpler. And it will be better if you learn to put on faith every day. Keep it stable. Now, it's gonna be times where you're going to feel like, for a second, I've lost my faith because of this world. But you're never supposed to take it off. You might loosen it up a little bit, You may roll up your sleeves a little bit, but you'll never take off your faith. Talk about fasting. Make sure that the Lord has authorized you to fast. Because if not, it's just like asking amiss. Because the Lord may just want you to read more, as I said before. The Lord may want you to just turn off the TV sometime and spend time with Him. The Lord may just want you to read a few verses. He may want you to go to church. He may want you to fellowship. He may want you to do other things. Your health may not allow you to fast. The Lord is the doctor. He said those who are sick need a doctor. If the Lord did not authorize you to fast, you don't need to fast. And that's what the Lord is saying. Okay? So I want to go ahead and conclude before I start my announcements with this particular song, I Can Only Imagine. And I want you to think about the goodness of God. I want you to think about giving your life to Jesus Christ. If you've already done so, that's great. But I want you to think about how you can better serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what you can do for the kingdom of God, to magnify God, what you can do to get the word out to people, men, women, boys, and girls. What can you do to serve the kingdom of God? Ladies and gentlemen, this is I Can Only Imagine by Miss Karen Shewell.
The day is coming when I shall see my Jesus face to face. The day I've waited for all my life. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by His side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when Your face is before me. I can only imagine, yeah. Can you only imagine?
I love you, Jesus.
To be surrounded by Your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for You, Jesus? Or when all of You needs me, will I stand in Your presence to my knees? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. I can only imagine. Oh, yeah.
I praise You, Jesus, for all that You've done. You know, the Bible tells me that in heaven, the streets are paved with gold, and that the walls are made of jasper. That's sort of like a diamond. I have no doubt that all those things will be beautiful, but that's not what I'm longing for. The first face that I want to see is the one who died for me. The one who made it all possible for me to even get there. It's all about You, Jesus. You see, when I was a little girl, I used to sit on the steps at my grandmother's house. We called her Gamma. And she would be cooking that hot water cornbread and those greens. Ooh, man, I still smell those greens cooking. She would be singing this song about she was wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. And she would just be praying for all of us. And I'd just sit there and giggle. I didn't understand. I didn't know what all that was about. And then my cousins and I, we would all get ready and go to church. Man, we'd be there all day long. My grandfather was a pastor. Man, could he preach. I used to watch my elders. Oh, they would be dancing and singing and talking in this funny language. And I would just be sitting there amazed. I didn't understand all that back then. I just knew that they were having a really good time. Man, hats would be flying. And the next thing I know, they'd pull out these fans and they'd be fanning each other.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
I was just a child. I couldn't understand what was going on. I know now. I thank you, Jesus, that you brought me into the knowledge of your saving grace so that I could tell others about you. You see, I don't have any fear of dying because I know that my Redeemer lives. And for those of you out there who do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know what you're missing. I want you to come to know him as I've come to know him. I want you to know about his grace and his wonderful love, but most of all about his mercy, how loving and kind and forgiving he really is.
I adore you.
If you don't know him, it's time that you come to know him before it's too late. You don't know when you're going to leave off of this earth. Don't take any chances. It's time for you to come to Jesus. He's calling out your name. He loves you, and he wants you to go to heaven. Can you only imagine?
I can only imagine. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Love of Jesus Ministry. I have a few announcements to make. Be sure to continue to encourage and uplift, empower your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Remember, a spiritual guide on the go is in your local bookstore, such as BarnesandNobles.com, Follis.com, Amazon.com, AmazonUK.com, and BookWorld.com. That's BookWhirl.com. In addition to that, I'm also working on a new project entitled Can You Hear Me? And it will be in book format, so I will get back with you as far as different things that's contained in that book as well. Gospel artists, artists, promoters, writers, publicists, actors, actresses, other individuals, directors who would like to be a part of the ministry and who would like to come on the ministry, please Facebook Alfreda Love, ALFREDALOVE, or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the ministry. I would like to say that I really enjoyed the gigantic concert with Tamla Man and friends on this past weekend, and I will bring you some news concerning that, and we have some great pictures to show you as well. In addition to that, please mark your calendars for this Sunday. Get your calendars right now. It should already be marked, but just in case it's not, I want you to mark September 21st, 2014 at 6 p.m. The Great Ebenezer Baptist Church will have a dinner play theater-style event, and the play is entitled Let the Church Say Amen, and an example of the foods that will be served consist of brisket, links, and many side appetizers, as well as desserts and drinks, such as tea and water. So please be sure that you go ahead and RSVP and purchase your ticket. It's a donation of $12 so that you can enjoy this momentous occasion. That's September 21st, so mark that on your calendar. Also mark October 17th through the 18th. Ms. Oprah Winfrey and Friends will be in Houston, Texas, so be sure to mark that down as well. We would like to congratulate our Gospel Artist of the Week, Ms. Tamela Mann, and our Comedian of the Week, Mr. Mann. These two individuals were selected as the Gospel Artist of the Week on the Love of Jesus Ministry, as well as the Comedian of the Week, Mr. Mann. I will look for other individuals on next week according to different nominations that people inbox me. So thank you so much for your participation. In addition to that, just know that the Love Live Jesus Ministry will move soon to a different station. I will have my own radio station, praise God. And so I am going to play music, and the address will change, but the format will be basically the same thing. And so I'm going to change that particular address, okay? Please make sure that you're praying for 186 individuals. If you have to pray for your family members, put them all on one line and pray for them one by one, and do not forget to pray for yourself. In addition to that, students, make sure that you continue to follow the rules and regulations of your teachers. Make sure that you are watching your teachers because they're going to lead you to success. Make sure you're listening to everything they say because they're going to also help you be successful, not only in academics, but also in behavior and other things of that nature. Make sure that you keep your hands and feet to yourself, and this is nationwide. Parents, make sure that you remind your students that they are representing you when they go off to school. So let's make sure that they represent the best of you because we know that each person on earth is the best. So let's make sure we're doing that. And so in addition to that, students, make sure, and this is nationwide, when you are on the bus or when you're walking home, make sure that you are watching out for cars. Also, make sure when you're on the bus that you remain seated. Keep your hands and feet and other objects to yourself. We do not want to distract the bus driver. And also, when you're on foot, when you're walking home, make sure that you're not chasing after buses. In the mornings, in the middle of a highway, make sure that you are cognizant of the cars because sometimes it's hard for cars to see you. So make sure that you are out of the way and out of the path of different cars and watch where you're going. Drivers, make sure you're driving the speed limit, especially in school zones. Also, make sure that you continue, as I said before, to make sure that your children are going to bed at a decent time. Make sure they're also doing their work. Students should be coming home with homework, all grade levels, and this is nationwide. They should come home with homework, and so I don't know of any child or any student who does not have homework, maybe pre-K, maybe daycare, but public school students usually have homework every day. So if they tell you they don't, you need to check their backpacks or get in touch with their teachers. But at any rate, just make sure that we continue to model to our students at home what we expect. Make sure that we continue to work with our students and our youth in the community, in the churches, in the schools. And as I said before, you never know who's watching you. Just as we think the little ones aren't watching, they are. So let's be cognizant of what we do at home and in public, and let's continue to encourage them to do their best when they go to school and to be the best because they are representing their families when they come to school. Okay? So let's just make sure that we reiterate that, and let's make sure that we have a great semester. In addition to that, let's see here. I just want to say that the Lord is good. I want to welcome many individuals, many new friends who have joined the Love Live Jesus Ministry. You can also connect with me on the page of I Got to Have Faith. I know I have several pages, but that particular page is the main page, so it doesn't really matter which page you join. Just as long as you're connected to the Love Live Jesus Ministry, that's what really matters. So just make sure you remain connected with me. Also, make sure on this week that you wear the garment of faith, and make sure that if you have an urge to fast, make sure that you receive authority from God. God says that's when he really blesses us, is when he gives us authority to fast, just as the Lord works in mysterious ways. And the reason I said that is because, as I said before and yesterday, I went to bed and I didn't eat anything because I didn't wake up until like 1 o'clock. the next morning and I wasn't hungry. But the Lord was dealing with me while I slept, because the Lord knows that I'm a busybody. I'm everywhere. You know, I'm always working on something or doing something. And sometimes the Lord has to allow us to rest a little bit so that he can tell us what he needs to tell us. You know, he has to slow us down, and he knows how to do it, right? So that was an unintentional fast. And the Lord can better utilize us when he authorizes us to fast, okay? And as I said before, and as I sum up this particular ministry, some people may agree with it and some may not, but God is giving the green light, yes. Ministers, evangelists, pastors, preachers, do not put an individual in a position where we ask them to fast as a group and the Lord did not authorize it. There's a difference between when the Lord authorizes a fast for a whole group of people and when he just tells one person they need to fast, right? And it's very rare that a group of people will fast. It's very rare because God treats us. He says he has no respect of person, but we're each individually made, uniquely made. He says he knows how many strands we have on our head, and we don't all have the same amount of strands on our head. And so therefore, even when we speak about the rapture, you know, the Lord is showing this, and I don't want to get too deep, and I don't want to start another ministry, but even when individuals are raptured, the Lord says, basically, it's to his discretion. Sometimes he raptures one person, sometimes he raptures many. He says, and the fast is to the discretion of God. Sometimes one person may need to fast because that may be the person who's unable to break a yoke. He said, or it may be a multitude of people, right? Just like he spoke about the fish. You know, he said there were only a certain amount of fish, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He said, but that fed a multitude. He said, so, in other words, the cause and effect has to do with his authorization. And so if God did not authorize it, do not require people or do not say it in the atmosphere or tempt people or provoke people to go on a fast. Okay? Make sure that it's authorized by God. That is the key to receiving breakthroughs. We can't just decide, I need a financial breakthrough now, I'm going to go on a fast. Well, you got to talk to God first, and God has to give you direction. God may want to go ahead and give you a financial breakthrough without you fasting because of your faith, right? So listen to God. Watch God work in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Love Lift Jesus ministry. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. And be sure to take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye, everybody. And tomorrow, we will focus on our youth because we're making up days here. So we're going to focus on empowering our youth, and I will be on tomorrow night. Thank you so much for tuning in, and may God take care of you and bless each and every one of you. Thank you, everybody. Good night.